Let's turn together in our Bibles for our scripture reading this morning to Matthew chapter 1, Matthew's Gospel, the first chapter in the Pew Bibles, page 1112, in the Pew Bibles, Matthew 1, we'll begin reading at verse 18 and reading to the end of the chapter. This is the word of God. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. And Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took to him his wife. And did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. So far from the holy word of God. May God add his blessing as we open his word together this morning. I urge you to keep your Bibles open if you're able, and I'll direct us to verse 23 as our text for this morning. It's a quote from Isaiah 7, verse 14, which we've already heard as our call to worship at the beginning of the service. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, I wonder if you can relate to an experience that goes something like this. It's your fault. No, it's your fault. Well, you hit me first. No, you hit me first. No, it was you. No, it was all you. It's always you. Merry Christmas, we might want to say. And yet I suppose every one of us can identify with that kind of brokenness, that kind of being at odds with each other, that kind of broken relationship. But just imagine, I think as Lord willing, by the grace of God, we have also experienced in our lives, it went a little differently. It may have begun the same way. It's your fault. No, it's your fault. You hit me first. No, it was you. It's you. It's always you. And then finally, graciously and humbly, the acknowledgement, it is my fault, and I'm sorry, it was me. Now, what happened in that situation was that there was a realization, wasn't there, that the foolishness of bickering back and forth over against one another in a selfish way is finally stopped when we humble ourselves and become vulnerable before the other one and take on the burden and the cost of acknowledging our sin. That's costly. It's not easy. Humbling oneself is not easy. But it's a blessing, and it's a blessing that we realize is important because we understand that the relationship that we are to have with each other is more important than the foolishness of this petty bickering back and forth. Now, I'm using this as an illustration or an introduction to our consideration this morning of the blessing that Jesus Christ has come at Christmas. And I trust you can see there is a way that it relates and there is a way that it doesn't. Because in my illustration this morning, I'm talking about two petty sinners bickering over against each other. But in the blessing of the message of Christmas, we have the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal, the glorious, the altogether righteous, the impeccable, that is, without sin, Lord of glory, who was God, who is God from all eternity, who never sinned, who never will sin, taking our sin upon himself, humbling himself to be born of a woman and born under the law. But you understand why the Lord Jesus Christ was willing to do that. Why the Lord Jesus Christ could say with the language we've seen in Psalm 40, "I delight to do your will, O God." Why the Lord Jesus Christ was eager to do so. Yes, for the glory of God, glory to God in the highest, but also for the blessing that we would be in fellowship with our God again. He wants the relationship back, and we would never, ever have returned. We would never, ever have been able to accomplish that blessing. But he has done it in the sending. God the Father has done it in the sending of his Son. And we want to consider that blessing together this morning in the language that the angelic messenger spoke to Joseph, the husband-to-be of Mary. They were betrothed to be married. That's a little stronger than our engagement in our day and age. But they were not married, and they had not been sexually unfaithful. He had not known her, and he did not know her until the Lord Jesus Christ had been born and their marriage was established legally, and prior to that as well. We praise God that this is telling us something. It's telling us something that Christmas is not just a neat story. Christmas is not just a quaint little time to reflect upon something that happened in history. Christmas is the miraculous account of God deciding in his mercy to break into history, to break into our history, and to declare that he is God of all of history, but that he loves sinners, that there will be salvation for all those who put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when Joseph is told, "You shall call his name Emmanuel," which is translated "God with us," we're being told there that Christmas, the message of Christmas, is something of divine glory and beauty and power and work and worth. It's a miracle. Christmas is a miracle. And the blessing that we may know God as Father through Jesus Christ is a miracle. That's a miracle I want to preach to you this morning. The miracle I want you to know. The miracle I want you to share in by the grace of God in Jesus. Call his name Emmanuel. That is to say, God with us. Let's look together this morning at these three things: confessing the miracle, comfort in the meaning, and then confidence with the message that is entrusted to us. I'm talking about the message, God is with us. The word from the Hebrew, Emmanuel, God with us. That speaks to us of a miracle. You have to put yourself in Joseph's shoes for a moment, and quickly you understand that something is going on here that is beyond our wildest dreams. It is beyond human ability and understanding. It declares to us from the outset, this is a miracle. Joseph and Mary are betrothed. And Joseph sees that his wife is with child. That is to say, she's pregnant. And understanding the world as you and I understand the world in the normal course of things, he has the sense, you know, we have been faithful. And I don't want to make a mockery of Mary. I don't want to make a public spectacle of Mary. But there is something sad that he doesn't understand. And so God, in his grace, in his mercy, sends the angel to Joseph to reveal miraculously what exactly has taken place. Joseph has been pondering these things. He's been thinking them over. He is a just man. You can understand he's praying earnestly. Lord, what am I supposed to do with this? How am I supposed to understand this? And he receives the answer. And he is told that that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Mary has not been unfaithful in that sense. Now, Mary is not a sinless woman. She's a sinner who needs a Savior just like all of us. She will call Jesus her Son, her Savior. We understand that. But Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary. And that's a very important thing for us to acknowledge. It's not just a cute story. It's fundamental to the blessing of this being from God and miraculous. Joseph is also told, 1 verse 21, she's going to have a son, and you're going to call him Jesus. Now, in the Hebrew, that would be the name Yeshua. Sounds like Joshua, because that's the name it's based upon. But that name means Yahweh or Jehovah, that's triune God, saves. The Lord our God saves. That's what Jesus' name means. Because he will save his people from their sins. There's no question. That's what he's going to do. He is eternal and glorious Savior, and he will accomplish what he had set out to accomplish. He will save his people from their sins. You and I are sinners, and we need this Jesus. But what we're talking about here is the fact that we need a miracle. And I would relate that as well, the whole thing about the virgin birth, to what we read of Jesus' words in Matthew 19, verse 26. For any one of us, old or young, rich or poor, for any one of us to be saved requires a miracle of the wonder of God's grace. With man, it is impossible, Matthew 19, verse 26, but with God, all things are possible. So the angel Gabriel is quoting in Matthew 1, verse 23 from Isaiah 7, verse 14. A virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son, you shall call his name Emmanuel. Now that was an astounding thing in that day. And we see that how it's quoted in Isaiah 7:14 and the way it is here in Matthew 1 verse 23, it starts with a behold. This is going to open your eyes to something glorious and wonderful. This is something beyond us. And now you see that we're told this is actually fulfilled in the coming of Jesus. Virgins don't give birth to children. But Jesus was born of a Virgin Mary to show us this isn't from man. This is from God. Your salvation is not from you. It's not by your accomplishments. It's by God's grace in the Lord Jesus. Matthew 1 verse 22, all of this was done, this angel coming to Joseph, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet Isaiah. And there's just an encouragement there as well. Isaiah 7, verse 14, it's not just Isaiah's words. It was spoken by the Lord through Isaiah. This is the word of God. And these things are now fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Now, a virgin shall conceive and give birth to a son. I'm going to give a really quick thumbnail sketch of what lies behind this in the Old Testament. It begins in the beginning, Genesis 3, verse 15. The mother promise is given. The word spoken to the devil and said that the seed of the woman is going to crush your head. That is to say, from the line of Eve, through the line of Judah, through the line of David, a Savior will be born. But it's interesting already there, there's language there, the seed of the woman. That's interesting, isn't it? You don't usually talk that way. And it's telling us that a man, literally, humanly speaking, a man is not going to be involved in that case. And this child will be of the Holy Spirit, is what is being revealed to us here. Isaiah 7, verse 14, we've already looked at. It took place in Isaiah's day when they were being surrounded by the army of Syria, led by King Rezin, R-E-Z-I-N, and the king of Israel, Pekah. They were surrounding Judah, and a promise was made to Ahaz that deliverance would come in a miraculous way. That's when Isaiah 7, verse 14 was spoken, but it's not fulfilled until the coming of the Lord Jesus. One other verse just to reference is Jeremiah 31, verse 22. Jeremiah 31, verse 22. In the context of Jeremiah speaking about the blessing of the new covenant, everything going to be fulfilled in Jesus. We read Jeremiah 31, verse 22. How long will you gad about, O you backsliding daughter? For the Lord has created a new thing in the earth. A woman shall encompass a man. So Jesus will be born of a woman. Galatians 4, verse 4. We're talking about a glorious miracle. And we're talking about something that is fundamental to our salvation. That the Lord Jesus is both God and man. Not a quaint story, but fundamental to the blessing of our salvation. The Lord was mocked, as we read in John 8, verse 41, as one who was born of fornication. That's what the Pharisees said about Jesus. But Jesus would challenge them, as he did in Luke chapter 22, in terms of the promised Messiah. Whose son is he supposed to be? Yes, he's of the line of David, but whose son is he? Peter got it. Peter understood when they asked, when Jesus put them all on the spot in Matthew chapter 16, and he said, who do you say that I am? And Peter's answer was, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's who Jesus is. And that can only be by way of miracle. And this is what we have to grab hold of here this morning, that Christmas is a glorious miracle. And it's the work, the amazing work of the grace of God. And I trust that's an encouragement to us in all of our frailty and brokenness and helplessness. We need God's grace. So, secondly, let's just look at the comfort that is found in the meaning. That he is born of a woman, but by the Holy Spirit enables Jesus to be true man, truly righteous man, and yet true and eternal God. And we need him so to be. We need a Savior like this. We can't do it. It's got to be God coming to us. He needs to be a true man because man, you and I, men and women, we have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. He needs to be a righteous man because sinners can't atone for themselves. And he needs to be true and eternal God, because he will need in our place to endure the righteous penalty for our sins. He will hang on the cross. He was born to die. He was laid in a wooden manger that he would go to a wooden cross. And he would take upon himself our sins. He would become the curse for us that we might know the blessing of God. he would be declared the sin offering on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. This is the glorious message of Christmas. Therefore, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. And now the meaning that we revel in as we hold on to this message, as we take hold of this Savior, as we believe God's word, is that God is with us. God has shown himself to be for us, not against us. Left in our sin, he could only be against us. But he has come in the person of his Son to show that he is for us. And therefore, we know the blessing that our sins are forgiven. They have been taken away. And we are right with God. We have peace with God. So God is for us. God has drawn near to us. He has drawn alongside of us, and he is with us, and he will never leave or forsake us. No matter where we are, no matter what difficulties we are facing in this world, no matter what challenges we are up against, God is with us. That's a glorious, glorious thing to realize. The God of glory is at our side. The Lord Jesus Christ lives in us by his Holy Spirit. Christ in you, the hope of glory. He loved me, we can say with Paul. And he gave himself for me. So the life that we live by faith in the Son of God, who has done this glorious thing for us. We take comfort in the knowledge that we have hope for all eternity. God will never leave or forsake us. God is with us in Jesus Christ. God, who has begun a good work in us, will fulfill it. He will bring it to completion. And because he was born of a virgin, because he is true man, understand that the Lord Jesus Christ is a sympathizing Savior. He's tender and he's compassionate. He's gracious and he's loving. He is touched by the feeling of our infirmities. Hebrews 4, verse 16. He knows everything that we have ever gone through. And any valley, any pit we have been in, along the lines of Psalm 40, he's been deeper. He knows your every challenging experience and he draws near. He's able to save to the uttermost those who come to him in faith. He is able to give us mercy and help in our time of need. He is a sympathizing Savior. Now, boys and girls, I want you to think about whether you're the older brother or the younger sister or what have you. In your relationships, sometimes I can remember I was an older brother. And I have to confess to you, I wasn't always a nice boy. I wasn't always kind to my little sisters. And sometimes I would say, do it yourself. I don't have time for you. That's what we do as sinners. But the Lord Jesus Christ, who is not ashamed to call us his brethren, is never, ever, ever like that. And so because he knows our difficulties, because he has tasted of our infirmities, because he made himself poor, he knows your every challenge, and he will never say to you, you're on your own, figure it out. You may pour out your heart to him. You may lay your challenges before him. You may cry out to him and find him merciful. God is with us in the Lord Jesus Christ. He upholds us and he grants us an eternal, certain hope. Now, there's one thing, the third point I just want us to go forth from here with, that is, we may also have confidence in this message. God is with us. This is what we want to say to the world. This is what we want to tell to others. Joseph, look at what he did. You could imagine, again, putting yourself in his feet. This doesn't make sense to me. I've never seen anything like this. But he heard the message and he believed it. And the next thing we read that he does at the end of the chapter, he did not know her. Verse 25, till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Call him Emmanuel. Call him Jesus. That is to say, God with us, or Jesus, the Lord God saved. So that's what he did. He believed the message, and he acted accordingly. But I want us to appreciate that there's a bookend message here in the book of Matthew, first chapter and the last chapter. So the heart of what we're seeing here in the first chapter is the message of this morning, the birth of Christ at Christmas. Call him Emmanuel, that is to say, God with us, Matthew 1, verse 23. But in the last chapter of the book of Matthew, we're familiar, are we not, with Jesus' parting words as he ascends into heaven, the Great Commission, Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. The last words of this gospel, Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. God is with us in Jesus Christ, and he will never leave or forsake us. So now we go into the world with this message. God is with us. There is hope in Jesus Christ. Come to the Father through him. God will be with you forever, to the very end of the age and for all eternity. Jesus will never leave or forsake us. That gives us great boldness and a great eagerness to speak to others about this glorious hope. I am with you always. Now, if we go into the world with this message, it must be, if we have tasted of this sweet grace that is found in Jesus Christ, that our manner and our method and our message reflects him. That is a willingness to humble ourselves, a willingness to be vulnerable, a willingness to reach out to what we might call the unreachable or the untouchables, or however you want to call it. Just think of the Lord Jesus Christ being born of a woman and laid in a manger in a stinking cattle shed. People who come out of a manger don't smell all that good. And that message ought to humble every one of us. And the message of Christmas ought to put an end to any sense that we are somebody in and of ourselves, that we have attained anything by our own strength. And that ought to give us a great humility and willingness to reach all those who are still bound in sin like we were, who are still unworthy like we were, who are still struggling under the weight and burden of the guilt of sin like we were. So we may go now with this glorious message. Jesus Christ has been born. Put your trust in him. Whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. We may have great confidence in this glorious message because it's a divine work. It's the power of God unto salvation. Glory to God in the highest. On earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you for the message of the gospel, the good news that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. We thank you that we may learn to say with the Apostle Paul, we were the worst. We have contributed nothing to our own salvation. Apart from Jesus, we are nothing and can do nothing. But we praise you, Lord God, that in your mercy you have come to us. And we thank you that by your grace you have shown yourself to be for us in Jesus Christ, when everything should have been against us. And we thank you that you are now, as we trust in you, with us and will never leave or forsake us. Bless every one of us gathered here, everyone who hears this word this morning, with that encouragement and that hope resting in Jesus, coming to you, O Father, through him. In his name we pray. Amen.